beep, beep, beep. Startled, I wake up in a hurry and slam my alarm clock that gives a shameful look of 10 a.m. Ugh, not again. I groan as I run towards my closet to get changed. I grab the usual worn-out Converse and a plain t-shirt while stuffing my art supplies in my backpack. Running to my car and checking the mirror, I see that my eyes are still red from last night. And no, it's not what you're thinking. I'm not one of those junky college students. I've just been having a rough month and have been crying almost once a week now. These memories come back once in a while and make me miserable. I brush off the thoughts that made me gloomy from last night and start my car. As I pull up to my school, I park, grab my stuff, and run towards the B building. As I run up the stairs, I quietly make my way through the students in the class to get to my station. "Wow, new record, huh? Where have you been? I thought you might have actually died this time," whispered Andrew. "I know, I'm sorry. I couldn't sleep last night thinking about my portfolio I need to turn in," I lied. "Gentlemen, may I continue my lesson, or do I have to wait for your midlife crisis conversation to end?" snarled Mr. Lee. We looked at each other knowing exactly what each of us is thinking, but instead apologized to the professor. Mr. Lee ignored us and began. "Moving on, students, as some of you have heard, this week we'll be having art models to our come to our class. Your assignments are to use a different type of medium on each model that comes in each day. You will have exactly a week, so don't be late," he says, giving me a dirty look. I slumped down on my seat, putting on my headphones, as Mr. Lee's lecture fades into the distance. His lecture sometimes can even put me to sleep, so instead I listen to some Rolling Stones to get my brain waking up and my leg moving to the baseline. My only source of relaxation, or when I'm at peace, is when I'm listening to music. It has always been a way of escaping from the outside world and feeling safe when I know in reality everything is. Music and art have always helped me through hard times, especially growing up. My childhood years were rough. I think the people that made it that way were mostly my parents. I would hide in my room listening to my favorite song, Another One Bites the Dust, as the beat coincided with the banging and clashing coming from the kitchen. I recognized the deep voice. "I can't," growled my father. "Felix, please, I'll make sure to find another job and manage the rent. I'll ask around for part-time so I can try to earn more," pleaded my mother. "You don't get it, do you?" I said. "There's no way out of this," he shouted back. I can still smell the strong scent of vodka as he yelled. Bottles of glass were shattered everywhere as I went downstairs to check on my mom. She was on the floor. "Mom," I shouted as I'm walking slowly towards her, terrified of what my dad might do next. "Go back to your room," he shouts, as he throws a plate towards my direction. Frightened, I quickly run upstairs, barely dodging the plate as a piece of glass manages to cut the back of my head. I slam the door behind me as tears run down my face. "Hey, Earth to Elliot," teases Andrew. Alarmed, I jump for my distractions, feeling a nudge keep hitting on my right arm. "Whoa, it's okay, dude. I was just trying to get your attention on the hot new art model," he says. I look up from my seat and I see a woman probably in her late 30s. You can tell she's done this before by the way she walks in confidently and takes her seat to pick a pose. Everyone gets their supplies out and they start making their first sketches. As we draw the figure, I look over and see Andrew smiling. I know that smile. It's the same one he used to give me when we were kids. Either he just thought of an inside joke we had, or he wants to get into some mischief. "What are you so smiley for?" I say. "Nothing, I'm just overjoyed with this project," he giggles. "Cut it out, Andrew. You only took this class so you can see the models," I remark. "Okay, fine. Some guys from my other class are throwing a huge party and it's gonna be so cool," he says excitedly. "And it would be even more cool if you came." "Dude, Come on, you already know parties aren't my thing. As a matter of fact, any social gathering isn't my thing. Andrew has always been headstrong and never lets a no pass him. That's probably why he's even in this class, by annoying the teacher to death to let him be here. Please, you're gonna have a great time, I promise, giving me the puppy eyes. There's gonna even be free beer. Wow, thanks. You just gave me another reason why not to go. I turned back to my sketch. Look, just come for a little while, and if you're feeling uncomfortable, you can leave at any time. He shrugs. I knew this was never going to end, so I just told him yes and got back to my drawing. The bell rang and everyone got their things packed and headed out the door. As I was walking out, I see one of my mentors walking up to me. Hey, Elliot, real quick, before you go, I just wanted to remind you that the school department is holding their annual Still Life contest, and I know you would be a perfect candidate for it, she says, thrilled. I'm not sure if I could join. I've just been really busy, I say. Well, it's open for a couple days, and just didn't want to let you miss out on $40,000. She says, smiling as she walks away, knowing that I have to enter. Great, now that's just another item on my plate that I have to worry about. I soon get to my house and receive the best greeting anyone could ask for. Puppy kisses. Okay, Felix, calm down, bud, I say as I sit on the floor to give him his best greeting, belly rubs. He wags his tail back and forth, running around in excitement. I feel my phone vibrate and jump from the floor to see who it is. Not surprised, it was just Andrew saying to not forget about the party and to bring a housewarming gift. I thought this was a college frat party, not a high school reunion. I get another text from him. I know what you're thinking. This isn't a high school reunion party. It's a college extravaganza. But there are a couple of girls slowly coming in. Get something nice ASAP. I hurry over to the store and buy a couple bags of chips and some flowers. As I get to my car, I feel a sudden urge of anxiousness and just nervous overall. I try driving as slow as possible, trying to buy myself some time. But who was I kidding? The party isn't going to end till the very next day. I made it up the driveway to an enormous house. It had pillars and even its own fountain in the front, which was lit up since it was already dark out. Walking towards the door, I can see through the window. It's a couple of older guys playing beer pong, and there were beer cups organized neatly on the table. It brought me back to one of my most miserable memories, but instead of the cups being organized neatly, they were scattered all over the floor. Kicking them around, my dad would grab me by the arm and push me to the floor. All these cans better be picked up by the time I get home, he yelled. At that time, I wasn't even scared. I just held so much anger in me because I knew he shouldn't even have been living under the same roof as me. I snap back to reality as I hear more people yelling as they are going into the party. This wasn't for me. I didn't even know anyone here, and I would just be standing in the corner watching everyone else have the time of their life. I caught a glance of Andrew as he was walking towards the door. I quickly ran and started my car. The next day, I wasn't as late, but all the models were there for our day 2 assignment on our sketches. I see that this time each student got their own model. I walk up to my station and see a man sitting by my spot. He must have looked a little over his 40s with some gray hairs and big green eyes. I get to my station and he quickly stands, looking more nervous than I do. Hello, you must be Elliot. Nice to meet you, said the model. Nice to meet you too, I said shyly. So tell me, how should I pose? Do you want a side view or just a straight angle? Well, usually the model already has their pose ready. A side view it is then, he said excitedly. I'm not sure if this was the first day or this is how he usually acts, but I just decided to go along with it. So, Elliot, what do you do for a living besides drawing and stuff? He says, not much. I work at a movie theater. I say, weirded out how he wants to talk when models usually have to stay quiet. Oh, that's nice. Where is that at? He remarks. Look, I'm just a student trying to do my work. I'm not sure if I feel comfortable talking about my personal life to a complete stranger. I'm sorry, I say. The class drags for a while, and I start to recognize similar features from the man as I draw them. But forget about that and get on to the assignment. The bell rings, and as I'm packing up, the model I was drawing comes up to me. Hey, I was thinking we can go and grab a coffee. I'm just new around this area and want to meet new people, he says. I don't know about that. Sorry, I have work later on, I proclaim. I just would like to go for a couple minutes, he insists. Well, okay, I guess. I say worried he wasn't trying to kidnap me. We get to a small coffee shop and order our drinks. As I sit, I notice a ring he has on his finger, just like the one my father used to wear. I'm not sure I ever got your name, I say, trying to get into his personal life instead of mine. Yeah, well, I knew this was coming, he says, shaking. Elliot, I have something to tell you. I'm already sweating through my t-shirt, and it's only 70 degrees out. The way he said my name reminded me of someone I didn't want to be reminded of. I actually came here to find you, he says. Wait, what? I'm not sure I understand, I say, knowing exactly who he was now. Elliot, I'm your father, he says. In shock, I ran to the restroom. A couple hours pass, hoping he would have left, but he was still sitting in the exact same spot. I sit back down, not being able to even look at his face. Elliot, listen to me. I know how you're feeling, and I know this is tough, he continues, but I just wanted to see you again and say I'm sorry for everything I've done in the past. No words came out of my mouth. Why couldn't I say anything? Why couldn't I yell at him after all these years? We stayed silent for a while. I also came because I'm really having a tough time financially and I thought you could help, he said. Why would I help you? I finally speak. You know those years you left the house? Your mom got very sick and I even had to take her to the hospital. My heart starts racing fast, thinking about the time I left. I remember tearing up because I didn't want to leave my mom. But I knew I needed to start a life on my own. She's not doing so well right now, and I need your help. I need your help to pay for her medical bills, and you're the only person who can help me, he claims. Please, Elliot, your mom needs this. Okay, yes, I'll do it for my mom. You're just going to have to give me some time, I say. Yes, of course, he says back. Later on that day, I rush and get out all my art supplies and papers. I draw for hours and hours. I probably used over 20 papers that were all thrown on the floor by now. I take a step back and admire the artwork. It was a painting of a child sitting in the corner of his room as he looked towards his door, where you can see the shadow of a tall man on the floor coming from the bottom peep of the door. Not too bad, Elliot, not too bad. I say to myself as I begin to feel something I haven't felt in a while. Joy. I drive to my school, hoping I still have time to enter the art contest. I run to my mentor's office. Right on time, she says, smiling, as I hand her the issue I've always been scared to show anyone. She begins to shed a tear. This is beautiful, Elliot. Thank you. I get home and feel relieved that after all these years, my life had some type of closure. I'm not only getting to help my mom, but my dad and I finally seem to be on good terms. I wait for hours sitting on my couch, waiting for some type of news about the contest. Finally, my phone rings. It's my mentor. Elliot, you won. You won the contest. An even bigger feeling of joy comes washing over me. I start to jump up and down so fast, almost knocking over my lamp. The next day, I get to my station, happy as can be, as I see my dad waiting with joy. I tell him the big news, and for the very first time, he hugs me. "I love you, kiddo," he says.